Steel when I done wrong. back on these times and the dreams we left behind. I'll be glad, 'cause I was blessed to get to have you in my life. When I look back on these days, I'll look and see your face. You were right there for me.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is a day when our hearts are heavy with sorrow for one who is dearly loved is no longer here with us in the flesh. Yet in the midst of the sorrow that we know, it is also a time for rejoicing. For we rejoice that Mark Steinle has gone to be with his Lord and Maker. For him, there is no longer physical pain, sorrow, or sighing. Tears are no more. In fact, for Mark, it is God himself who comes and wipes away the tears of his eyes. So this day, we come as people of faith, people who know what it means to love. For you can't lose what you don't love. We come to support one another in this time of loss, and also to take courage in the stories of Scripture that remind us to rejoice in the ever-present love of God.
So we gather this day with the hope of eternal life in our hearts to celebrate the life, both earthly and eternal, of Mark Steinle. Let us pray together. Loving and gracious God, with trembling hearts, fearful of our own death, we stand before you, made bold by the resurrection of Christ. O Lord, with breath still catching from grief, we come before you to sing songs of rejoicing and share stories of love. Holy and gracious God, in this time of worship, in this time of mutual shared support, send your Spirit to draw near, that through your holy breath we may know your love, which is deeper than words, stronger than storms, and protective of all who long for peace. Bless us now, gracious God, as we celebrate life, life on earth, and Mark's life in eternity with you. Amen.
Each of us bring treasured memories of Mark to this service today, and I'd like to share just a few thoughts before reading the Old Testament scriptures. Pam mentioned to me recently with a smile that their nieces and nephews used to call Mark Buddy Mark and often simply Gum. I said, Gum? The letters stand for the great Uncle Mark. So I think we'd all agree with him. Mark was a great guy. For many years, he and I and several of you have had the privilege of working at Casper College. He was on the upper campus, I on the lower campus, both with very different tasks. What a pleasure it was to watch Mark in the classroom, teaching the students. I think he thoroughly enjoyed what he was doing as he challenged them often with a grin and a twinkle in his eye to consider how to solve certain problems related to construction technology by using their skills and their growing knowledge. They were almost always motivated to do their best. Mark was a pro, and he did receive the Rosenthal Outstanding Educator Award from the administration and the board one year. Finally, one of the things Mark fondly remembered was his journey to Kenya. He was asked to oversee the Kitchen for Kenya project. Although he was hesitant at first, Mark journeyed to Kenya with faculty members Leslie Travers of Casper College and John Kambutu of UWCC, as well as Todd and Tammy Milliken and their family, and about 20 students from the college to build a dining hall and kitchen large enough to feed about 500 kids at one time. Yes, a major and tiring project, which brought great joy to many in Kenya, and Mark was proud to oversee the project. Yes, great uncle, Mark, in many ways. Now to the scriptures. David was also very pleased with his relationship to God. And he shared that in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. I think of the bighorns and some of the ponds and the streams. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. That is followed by a passage from Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season, and a time for every manner under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. May God be with us in these scriptures.
You lift me up each day, even though you've gone away. Your spirit dances in my mind, in my heart, and in my soul. The life you lived, the love you left, the ones you touched, we won't forget. You give us strength in time of need, my friend, my angel friend. And we shared good times through the years. In my heart and soul, you're here with me, my friend.
One of the most sacred roles of a pastor is to help a family prepare to celebrate the life of a loved one. Oftentimes when I meet with families to talk about a service like this, they're at a loss for words. And we turn to Scripture to find words for what is beyond expression. Sometimes families aren't sure what passage from the Bible they want to hear. When I met with Jenna and Pam, even while Mark was still preparing to go to heaven, they knew right away, today you need to hear 1 Corinthians 13. Today, you need to hear about love. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love. I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, he speaks eloquently of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. This was true for Mark through 45 years of marriage. Love does not insist on its own way. It rejoices in the truth. Mark embodied a reflection of God's love through his life, lived out in teaching, in fatherhood, in faithful friendship. Love bears all things, even the pain of an extended battle with cancer. Love never ends. Even after death, love lives on. We come this day to celebrate life and to share a love story. We come to tell and to hear stories of a man who knew what it is to love and be loved. We come to celebrate the eternal story of God's love. In verse 11, Paul says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways." This verse speaks of what it means to mature in faith, to come to a fuller understanding of God's love. It is also a reference to the journey each of us may make during our earthly life, to grow from childhood and childish ways to the deeper maturity of adulthood. It reflects the wisdom attributed to King Solomon in Ecclesiastes 3. For both childhood and maturity have a time in life. There is a season for everything and a time for every matter under heaven. Mark Steinle's Time to Be Born arrived on October 10, 1952, here in Casper, Wyoming, when he was born to Robert and Elizabeth Steinle as the younger sibling of Steve and Liddy. He attended Pineview Elementary, East Junior High, and Kelly Walsh High School. The good school, he would say. Those years were filled with times to laugh and times to learn. Though, quite honestly, at that point, academics were not his strong suit. As a high school student, he barely showed up for class, accidentally lit the chemistry lab on fire, and earned a less than stellar reputation in mathematics. Years later, Mark's KW math teacher would also instruct his daughter, Jenna, and she cannot believe that the two of them were related. Mark enjoyed his journalism class because it got him off campus to sell ads, which meant he could stop for coffee, and he developed a knack for working as a supervisor of other students. At Casper College, he said his first major was a combination of study hall, pool hall, and drinking hall activities. There is a time. There is a time for young men to find their way in the world, and there is a time for love. It was at this time in his life that Mark began to find his love for work in construction and the love of his life, Pamela Sue Day. They started dating when she was a senior in high school and he was a college freshman. Now, this was like 1970, 71. He wasn't the only young man around with long hair, but when he showed up at the door of the Day family home looking like a hippie, Pam's dad said there was no way he would date his daughter. So Mark went home, cut his hair, and came back. It was the first of countless acts of commitment and dedication that Mark would show to Pam. They were married August 19th, 1972, here at First Christian Church. He was very close to both his parents and his in-laws. Mark had a wonderful sense of humor. When they first met, he warned Pam about his killer dog, saying she should be careful, Suki might not like her. During her first visit to his house, he said, "Come here, killer," and out trotted a little Pekingese, old, blind, and deaf. Through the years, there were many times to laugh together. Mark was Pam's very best friend. He worked hard to provide well for her and their daughter, Jenna. Even when work took him on the road, he'd call home every night to kiss his wife goodnight over the phone. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to hold fast and a time to let go. In the Hebrew poetry of Ecclesiastes, we're told there is a time to plant and a time to pluck up, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to break down and a time to build up. In more current terms, there is a time to learn and a time to teach, a time to work and a time to rest. Mark studied construction and welding at Casper College and worked as a plumbing apprentice and pipe fitter. Over 20 plus years, he worked in construction trades with a brief stint as building manager at American National Bank. He sold mortgages and real estate for a while, but his real strengths emerged in working for Petro Engineering, where he reached the managerial level as a foreman, supervising refinery construction. Mark's success in construction and business translated well into a teaching career at Casper College. He'd earned his bachelor's degree at the University of Wyoming and returned there in 94 for an MBA. As part of a cohort of five, he completed his PhD at Colorado State University. The young man who'd been a lousy math student in high school, now as an adult student, was the one helping everyone else study statistics and finance. Mark had been a jack of all trades, and his real-world experience brought strength to the construction program at Casper College, where he taught business, math, and welding, and started the tiny house log cabin building program for BOCES students to gain practical summer experience in the building trades. Even though he could come across as gruff, younger faculty viewed him as a helpful mentor, and many students throughout the years were blessed by his genuine, caring presence in their lives. He served as head of the Department of Construction Technology at Casper College. And as we've heard from Paul, in 2004, he received the Rosenthal Outstanding Educator Award. And it was in 2011 that he co-led a trip to Africa for college students and volunteers to build the kitchen and dining hall at that school in Kenya. He'd planned on teaching one more year, but retired in 2016 to deal with a diagnosis of cancer. The doctors didn't hold out hope for much time at all. But through prayer and persistence, Mark would fight hard against mantle cell lymphoma for 2.5 years, receiving 2 stem cell transplants, receiving a reprieve from the suffering of cancer, and extending the precious time he had to spend with his family. There are more stories we could tell of Mark's love for life. He loved kids of all ages, was like an adopted dad to Jenna's best friend, who called him Captain Romance. His great nephew, Weston, was among those who called him Buddy Mark Gum. They went to monster truck rallies together. Mark taught him how to bake cakes and fix cars, and let him help with whatever the family was doing, like loading the U-Haul to take Jenna to college, even though he was only 2 or 3 at the time. Jenna has countless wonderful memories of her dad, their shared cross-country road trips, where he taught her that the best restaurants are found next to grain elevators in small Midwestern towns, and teased her about her music. They had a tape player in the car, but not much else to pass the time all the way to Connecticut, except for sharing stories. He'd learned to drive fast from Grandpa Delbert and had a lead foot. He tried to tell Jenna that you could always go 10 miles over the speed limit and not get caught, but that didn't work too well in 30-mile-per-hour zones. Though he didn't want Jenna to tell her mom, his record was 3 speeding tickets in 1 day. When Jenna was 15, she wanted to be a lawyer. She drew up a contract stating that because her parents were talking about getting her a car for her 16th birthday, she wanted it to be a 1990 or newer, cool model with a great stereo. Mark signed the contract, then found the perfect car. He kept telling her how great it was. It was a Mustang, not too old, with a great stereo, everything she wanted. When she went out to see it, the problems were too many to name. There were peanut shells layered thick on the floor. The driver's seat was missing because the guy he'd got it from was 6'9" and drove from the back seat. Jenna couldn't possibly reach the pedals or the steering wheel. It did have a good radio hanging from the dash by wires, and the doors didn't close. But technically, it matched all of her criteria. Fortunately, in spite of his sense of humor and delight in teasing his daughter, Mark and Pam had already picked out a nice, safe, boring Buick and had it stored in a heated garage. Jenna knew her dad loved her so much. She could ask him for anything. From taking her driving test on an icy day with temperatures far below zero to flying alone to a soccer camp in the University of Maryland. Mark was a wonderful, caring father and trusted her to learn to take care of herself. It is a wise man who raises a strong daughter. And of course, his partner Pam was at his side all the way. When future son-in-law Jamie came to ask for Jenna's hand in marriage, Mark explained he'd have to talk to Pam as well. Pam raked him over the coals. But Jamie passed inspection, as Mark knew he would. There is a time for everything under heaven. And during every season, Mark embodied his love of family and lived as fully as he was able. He hated the fuss of holidays, birthdays, Christmas. But he loved Thanksgiving, just having time with family and enjoying time in the kitchen prepping good food. He could cook anything, but loved to make desserts, fudge, anything chocolate. He mastered the perfect chocolate meringue pie. During chemo, he'd store recipes on his iPad, thinking about what looked good and what he wanted to make. He loved Dairy Queen's Turtle Blizzard. He liked fall, but hated yard work. He coached T-ball, was a fan of John Elway and the Broncos. He took Jenna to her first football game at age 6 and encouraged her enthusiasm for sports when she shouted, "Come on, team, get a one down." Later in life, he took up golf with colleagues from the college and enjoyed seeing Phil Mickelson play in a national tournament in Memphis. There were memorable trips with family and friends to New York City, Disney World, and finally the Grand Canyon. He liked the outdoors, skiing, hunting, fishing. He tried river rafting in Vail and took Pam on an Alaskan cruise for their 25th anniversary. He was extroverted and laid back, hardworking, but never a neat freak. Some who worked with him found he could be rough on the job site, but he got tough jobs done. He was a member of the Elks Lodge for 42 years. He could fix about anything, but could be a procrastinator. An example of that is affectionately called the old broke truck. His hobby for the past 21 years has been working, off and on a 1962 Chevy Sidestep that he bought and promised Weston they'd fix together. To some folks' eyes, it's on the ugly side, painted Wyoming cowboy colors, still missing wipers and heat, but at last, it's finally drivable. You might not know, Mark hated taking pictures, hated pineapple, and really hated windmills. He liked roller coasters and found the way to embrace the roller coaster of life by holding fast to his love of family and trusting God to see him through to the end. Mark Robert Steinle was baptized in the Roman Catholic Church when he was 18 months old. He learned of the abiding love of God, not so much through church doctrine. When given the choice, he told his mother he'd rather clean his room than go to catechism. But he learned of God's love through the embodied faith of others around him, including his mom and his wife, Pam. The Apostle Paul tells us that love is patient. God's love is the most patient of all. For everything, there is a season, a time to be born and a time to die. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. At first, Mark could only dimly see God's plan for his life, but it unfolded with time. Over the last few years, I've had the chance to get to know Mark better during visits at the hospital and in his home. In talking with his good friend Tom Dowler, Mark expressed an interest in being rebaptized. His desire was to return to church and be baptized here at First Christian. We made the plan that as soon as he was well and strong enough, we'd move ahead. There is a time for every matter under heaven. Some of the seasons of life are beyond the control of even the strongest people. Mark had fought his cancer long and hard, but the time finally came for him to rest. After conversation with his oncology team and with the support of his family's love, Mark stopped the treatments that had kept the cancer at bay. On October 21st of this year, with his wife and mother at his side, Paul Halleck, Tom Dowler, and I shared in prayer and scripture with Mark, and he was baptized again into the love of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now we know only in part, then we will know fully, even as we have been fully known. After 65 years of knowing glimpses of God's love during his earthly life, Mark came to finally know the full extent of the amazing grace of God's eternal love in Christ. On November 25th, 2017, Mark Robert Steinle took his last breath on earth and his first breath in heaven, greeting God face to face and knowing more fully than he ever could have before that faith, hope, and love abide these three, and the greatest of these is love.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes, when I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? I will sing for you.
Wow. And then the words of our friend Mark Steinle, just another day in the beach. So nice to see all of Mark's friends here. My name's Tom Daller, and I'm a friend like you are to Mark, and came to offer my condolences, came to see old friends, and to tell stories. Mark and I knew each other for several years as before we worked together at Petro Engineering. We didn't know each other very well. We had an acquaintance. We knew each other through family of Pam's, and we knew who each other were, but we weren't good friends. We weren't friends yet. So I went to work for Petro, and of course Mark was there, and so he and I traveled. You know, I had a different relationship with Mark at Petro than some of the other employees. I didn't have to work for him. But we worked closely together. We had the same thing in common of trying to make money for the company. So we traveled together, and we quickly we decided we had a lot in common. The love of our daughters and our wives and our families in general. We rarely talked about the jobs or the work unless we were specifically going to make a sales call, and I would introduce Mark, and there were calls we made where he would introduce me. But once we got busier, then Mark and I didn't do quite so much of that. But I'm going to tell you, when you drive from Casper to Williston, North Dakota, is a long trip, and there's plenty of time to talk. And believe me, Mark could talk and tell stories. We continued to stay in contact once the refinery turnaround business was over, and Mark became a school teacher, and we continued to stay in contact. And I remember one time, you know, I spent about 50 years in the energy related industry, to mostly in the oil and gas side, and I traveled from the Canadian border to New Mexico to sell either process equipment or component parts for drilling rigs. And so I was in a lot of shops. And one day in North Dakota, I was in the shop, and I saw a young man that was welding. And he had, underneath his leathers, he had a hooded sweatshirt, and I could see the CC on this on the front of the sweatshirt, and I could see the T-bird. And so it was time for a break, and we took a break. They took a break, and so I went over and said hi to this young man, asked him where he's from, and he said that he was from Worland. And that I said, well, did you go to Casper College? He said, yes, sir, I did. Went to Casper College. I said, well, did you know Mark Steinle? And he goes, Steinle. I knew Steinle. He said, boy, he was a heck of a guy. He taught me everything I knew, and he taught me how to make a living. And so I thought about that for a long time. And so for several years after that, every time I was in a shop, and when you're repairing, totally overhauling a drilling rig, the shop is full of fabricators and welders and mechanics working on various parts of the drilling rig. Always a welder around, And when I'd see a young guy and he was taking a break, I would ask him where he was from. And pretty soon I'd say, well, did you go to Casper College? I went to Casper College. I said, well, did you know Mark Steinle? I knew Steinle. It wasn't Mr. Steinle, and it wasn't Dr. Steinle. It was Steinle. And Mark, in turn, had a nickname for everybody. He had nicknames for some of our customers, but I can't say what those were here today. He nicknamed me Mr. Dowler. I was older than Mark. We had a lot in common in our families and our love of our children. And I traveled one day to Salt Lake City where we were doing a job. And Mark wanted to know if I wanted to go to dinner that night. And I said, sure, I'll go to dinner. He took me to a restaurant that I had never been to before. Not a big deal. Many of you, all of you, have probably been to this restaurant. But he told me that if I liked ribs, that they had good ribs and lots of French fries. And so I said, yeah, that'll be good. And he said, but what do you think, we ought to have a beer? Mark didn't drink much. So I said, yeah, we'll have a beer. So he orders us a beer. And what I didn't know is the glass was that tall. Now, we could probably figure out by the circumference and the pie, you know, all that stuff, but it was 24 ounces. So I don't think I'd ever, I'd drank many, many beers, but I don't think I'd ever drank a 24-ounce glass of beer at one time. And so we had a beer, had a nice dinner, and I think we had seconds. So the next morning, we go to the job site, and all the workers were coming through the front gate of the refinery and to be accounted for as they came to work. And I noticed that there was our customer, which was Amoco Refining in Salt Lake. They wanted to make sure their safety rules were followed. They wanted to make sure that there were no on-site accidents, no lost time accidents. And as part of that, they hired a dog. So we know them as a drug sniffing dog that sniffs out drugs and alcohol, and he had a handler. And what caught my mind was not that he was there, but he was a golden retriever, my favorite dog. I owned a golden retriever, owned several of them. Beautiful. You could tell he was trained. He just sat, had a leash on. And as the workers came through the gate, they walked in front of the dog. And I thought, boy, that's pretty cool. He's trained. He just sits there. My dog would be jumping on him, wanting to kiss him. And then pretty soon I saw the dog stand up, and his ears perked up, and his owner reached down, took the leash off, and the dog went over and identified one of the workers that came in. And so quickly, some personnel from Amoco went over and asked if they could look in this worker's lunchbox. And of course, you know, their lunchboxes are about that long and about that high. And sure enough, they get through all the snacks and stuff, and they find, unfortunately, a bottle of alcohol in his lunchbox. And this dog knew that. And I'm so sorry. There were even. You're welcome. So he identified this worker, and so the point of the story, and I've lost the point, is that Mark and I were at dinner. We had a couple 24-ounce beers, and Mr. Steinle says to me, "Mr. Dowler, I wouldn't go down and pet that dog if I was you." We had fun. Mark, I guess my relationship with Mark was a lot based on humor. He was a good storyteller. He talked a lot. He had a lot of fun stories to tell. So did I. On occasion, we talked about the jobs we did and were in the process of doing, and we had fun. We were together all the time, but we were together in the office once in a while, and I saw him and Jim Vimich interact, and they would come into where I had a little cubicle office and join in the, and I would get to join in the fun, and it was, you know, it was some good times. You know, Mark liked his work, he loved his work, and he was good at it. But you know what he really loved? Was his family, his daughter. He talked a lot. Jim Vimich was telling me that he tricked my memory. He said, you know, back when the girls were, when Jenna and Emily Vimich and my daughter Erin were in school, there weren't any basketball camps for girls. Lots of camps for boys, but not very many for girls. So Mark went out and organized a basketball camp for high school age girls. And with he and Jim did the project, and they went up and hired a guy by the name of Angelo Hill, who happened to be a coach at Casper College. And they put this basketball camp on for girls, and it was I mean, we're talking a couple sharp guys, Jim Vimich and Mark Steinle. But they'd never put on a basketball camp before, but they were pretty confident, and it was quite the success. And I guess the point of that story is Mark would do anything, as the car story that we heard. Mark could do about anything for his daughter, to include play little tricks on her. And he loved you dearly. I learned so much about Mark and Pam that I felt like I knew them much better than I did before. You know, and scripture, and as a foundation for our Christian belief, we're told that the body will be gone, but the spirit lives forever. Wow, the spirit lives forever. You know, Mark had such a success making the transition from working with a construction company to becoming a teacher, with some things in between like we've learned. But he made that so easily, and I'd like to read you a post on Mark's Facebook page. Many of you may have already read it, but it's from a former student of his by the name of Kenneth. And Kenneth writes on Sunday, this past Sunday, "This afternoon, while pulling off a pipeline right away in Pennsylvania, I received a text with the terrible news that Mr. Steinle had passed away, which got me thinking how much he truly impacted my life and ultimately helped point me into the direction that I'm still headed. Aside from a year I spent at Casper College as a student of his, I'll never forget walking into the tent at Two Rivers in Casper, about to take my first pipeline welding test. And who do I see? Steinle was standing there waiting to see who he was going to test that morning. Hands down, the most nervous I've ever been testing to this day, mostly because I was a former student of his and didn't want to let him down. I know for a fact that there has been hundreds and possibly thousands of others he's impacted in ways just like that. As a teacher, a mentor, a friend, I want to say thank you, Steinle. Your legacy lives on with an awful lot of us. I will make sure to match my welding caps with my shirts from time to time. Rest easy, my friend. Wow, a legacy. But also his spirit. His spirit lives on. It can live on every day. All we have to do is reach for it and grasp it. And we all have memories of Mark, some good, some bad. But we have memory of him, and we can think about him, and his spirit can be with us every day. I'm almost done, so just bear with me. The phone going off shook me up. There was another post to Mark's site from a student named Jordan. And Jordan had a pretty good sense of humor. He sent a picture along with his post. And the picture is of Mark Steinle in a classroom getting ready to show a film, probably some kind of how-to thing. This is what maybe a hot bead in the pass or uphill. I don't know what he was doing. But he's using an old reel-to-reel tape machine, okay? I don't know at all, but it's got to be about a 1950 model. And I apologize for the Casper College people that are here, but it's not new. Jordan writes, Mark Steinle, you're one hell of a guy with an endless amount of stories. Really? Glad our paths crossed and was able to have you as a teacher and a friend. Also enjoyed all your high-tech electronics you used in the classroom. God bless you and rest in peace. You know, Jordan, I'm sure, got along real good with Mark because of that sense of humor and sending a picture along. So, you know, and as for me, I'm happy that my relationship with Mark continued after he was diagnosed with this horrible, horrible cancer. A cancer that in the beginning he was told he didn't have a very good chance of beating. But Mark's attitude was always positive, upbeat, and although I didn't talk to him every day or every week or not even every month, I stayed in contact. We texted. He would send out these, and I'm not a big Facebook guy, but Mark would do these recipes, as we heard about earlier. And so one day I said, now wait a minute. How can you do, doesn't this require 2 cups of flour or just, and he said, no, there's, and so he explained to me the process of baking this deal, and he said, you know, it'll never work if you put another cup of flour in there, Dollar. And so we stayed in contact that way, and that was 2.5 years ago, and we had lunch, and we'd go for pine coffee, and I'd go see him and try and be with him as a friend as he had these ups and downs of the roller coasters and too much chemical, and it just wore him out. And the last month or so, his last stay in the hospital, I went up to see him, and nobody was around. It was just him and I, and he was in quarantine. You had to put a mask and a hood on and all this stuff and gloves, and he said, don't do that. Just come on in. And I said, no, I would, boy, if you caught something. I mean, he didn't have an immune system. So I was definitely afraid that I would cause something. So we had a talk, and he was very coherent and talked very well, although you could tell he was wore out. And that's when he told me that when he gets out, he's going to go to the doctor, and they're going to formulate an exit plan. And, you know, I knew what he was talking about, but I'm not sure I wanted to know what he was talking about. But I heard that, and he looked at me with a straight face, no smile, and I said, okay, shuffled my feet a little bit, changed the subject a little bit, and later came back to that as we talked about the exit plan. And then after that, he was sliding downhill, and I got some really good time with him that I'll never forget. I can go on and on, but some of my best times were during his last week or so, and I got to see him at his house before he went to hospice, and his voice was extremely weak. He knew exactly who I was when I went in. He said, "Mr. Dowler, have a chair. How you doing?" You know, and so every time I went and saw him, I was trying to help and uplift him and see if there's anything I'd do. But you know, every time I came away feeling that he had uplifted me. You know, he didn't give up. He was a hard fighter. He wasn't going to let this beat him. And to the end, he had a good attitude about this, knowing exactly that the journey was soon over. His time on earth, as we know him, was going to be over. But the good news is his eternal life was going to start. And Mark understood that. We talked about it. And I said, you know, you and I have done a lot of things together, but I'm not sure we've ever prayed. Would you pray with me? And he said, thank you, and took his hand and grabbed mine. And so I said a prayer. I didn't expect him to answer that way. So we said a prayer. I said a prayer. And I think I went on and on. And although he didn't say stop, at home, Melanie would have told me to stop. That's enough. So we prayed. And at the end of the prayer, I looked up, and he was looking at me. And he said, thank you. Well, so I knew then. I said, you know, this guy's got it right. This guy understands. And so with that, I can go on. But that's will be my fondest memories of Mark, is when his time on earth was coming to an end. And he was making the transition from the life that we know to the eternal life that will never end. And we got to talk about that in hospice, too. And I knew he knew I was there. So I thank God for my friendship with Mark. I know it might not have been as deep as some of you sitting here, certainly the family members, but it was a friendship done based on just who we are, just a couple guys that had family, that saw the value in having family and children and wanting to provide for them. So thank you, dear God, for the opportunity to be Mark's friend. And thank you all for coming. I would hope that you would stay around after, if I quit talking, we can go downstairs and have a nice reception, and you all can tell stories.
It's easy to see why Mark and Tom were friends. They're both storytellers. We do invite you to stay after the service today for a reception downstairs to share stories with one another, with Mark's family, of the ways in which you knew him. I invite you now to pray with me. A loving and gracious God, the author of life, you are the storyteller. of your people. You are the one who writes the date of our beginnings. And then you invite us to co-author with you the story of our days, how we will live, who we will love, where we will work, what we will learn, what we will leave behind as a legacy. Lord, we thank you for all the ways in which your love was written in the story of Mark Steinle, in laughter shared, in his dear family's love, in teaching and friendships and hard work. Gracious God, we thank you for writing so well the story of Mark's life, from beginning to exit plan at the end, and now to a new beginning. Oh, gracious God, we thank you for Mark, for all that he was, for all that he is, and for his spirit continuing on in our hearts and with you, where he may hear you say, O Jesus, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Bless us, Lord, that we too, if not good storytellers, may all be good story livers as we share the story of your love throughout life. Amen. Let us hear together the beloved hymn, Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
thank you for coming today to this service. If you are able to stay, we truly invite you to stay and enjoy a time of fellowship. There's wonderful food waiting for you downstairs that Mark's family has provided. His family will be in Fellowship Hall to greet you. If you don't have time to stay and eat, you're invited to simply greet them on your way out. If you don't have time for that, then please sign the guest book so they'll have a record that you were here today. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks for the gift of life, both earthly and eternal. We thank you for your amazing grace, so much greater than we deserve. We thank you for being with us in all the times of life, in all the seasons. And we thank you, God, for your love, which is patient and kind and lasts forever. And now, O gracious God, may your face shine upon us, your peace fill us, and your strength carry us forth to live and to serve in this world until, like Mark, you call us home to heaven's rest with our sins forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Daddy's hands were always gentle, but I've come to understand.
Some bright morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away to that home on God's celestial shore.